If somebody's in trouble, somebody's in need, somebody's having a hard time. I mean, shoot, that might even be your face. I don't even know. But right now, I want you right now just to go ahead and get that person, that face, that name. Because if there's one thing we can do right now, we can pray. So today, I hope you don't mind, but today I want to pray a little bit. So here's what we're going to do is go ahead. I want you to find three, no more than four people. Three, no more than four people. And youth leaders, get up out your spot, and I want you guys to be a part of this too. But I want you to get in a circle, grab three, four other people. No, just three. Grab two or three other people right now. Get in a circle, a square, a triangle, a pentagon, whatever you got to do. And get with a group of people right now. And today we're going to pray. I know maybe you came to church to sit in a chair and listen to somebody, but that's not the way it's working tonight. Tonight we're doing something, okay? So get in a group. That's right. Get in a group. Look at each other. That's right. This is interaction, people. Bible says, yeah, get up here, I don't care. Bible says where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is. So you guys are getting in a group of two or more, and God is going to rest in the words, in the place between you guys. And we're going to believe God to change the situation. So right now, you guys got a name and a face. If you want, we're going to pray for them. No, you're going to pray for them. You don't got to share a name if it's a personal thing, whatever it is. But tonight, I want you guys to take turns praying for that person that God's put in your heart. We're going to take a minute or two while the band plays. And I want you to pray hope. I want you to pray change into the situation. So right now, look at him. And I want you guys to pray for that person right now with your mouth out loud. That's right, the music's playing, so nobody's going to hear you too well. Don't worry about it. But pray right now for that person in need. And if you don't know how to pray for that person, then ask for the person next to you. They can pray for that person. Ask the person next to you. So Father God, Lord, we thank you for each and every person in this room. Father, for those who are still praying and those who have already finished praying. God, we ask that every promise said in your word would be received. God, that it would manifest. God, we pray that you would heal bodies. God, that you would put back together broken bones. God, that you would restore families that have been torn apart. God, for those young people, Father, that have been getting in trouble with their family or the law. God, that those people, Father God, Lord, that they maybe have family members they haven't seen in years or ages. God, for those that are struggling with addictions and challenges, Father God, Lord, that you would break the chains of bondage. God, that your word would be unleashed and your spirit would rise up inside of them in their bodies and their lives. Father God, that the enemy would be shown as defeated in their lives, and God, that Christ would be exalted in everything that they do. So Father, we thank you, and God, we honor you that there is no name above the name of Jesus. So Lord, we thank you, Father, that every wicked thing has been placed under your foot, and Lord, let your freedom reign in their lives, in their families, in their relationships, in their future, over everything, Lord God. That Father, as a church, whatever we put our hand to, Father God, Lord, you say it shall prosper. God, that you say, Father, whatever we agree to, God, we agree that these prayers are answered in the name of Jesus. So Father, we say it is done. It is finished. Let it be known in heaven, earth, and hell that, Lord God, the things that we have spoken have been spoken life over. And God, change these situations to match your will in Jesus' name. And God, in the meantime, as we wait and as we watch your words come to pass, give us as family and friends and just people that know about this stuff, God, give us the strength to stand until we see it to completion with our very eyes. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen and amen. Gary, come on back real quick. We're gonna wrap this thing up just real quick. Okay. Two, maybe three people. Here's what I need. Is I need somebody to share just for like 10 seconds how good God is. Who wants to share real quick? Just tell everybody here why God is good. Who, where you at? Over here? Get up here, bro. Get up here. Come on. Yeah. Tell all these people up here why you know God is good.
God is good because my whole family believes him. I know I believe him. He's going to set my family on the right track. My mom is having struggles. I'm trying to help her. She pushes me away because I know she's an adult, but sometimes I just feel like I can help her more. Her struggles, I believe, she doesn't deserve. My attitudes in my family aren't very kind, but I keep on praying and praying and praying. I accepted him when I was really little, when I was born most likely, and it's just been great. I've had my ups and downs. I've accepted him many times, and I just keep on doing it whenever I have a doubt. I know he's good. In my family, we have miracles. Yes, it's just really great, and I'm honored to be one of his children.
That's right. Hey, what's your name, bro?
Nathan.
Who?
Nathan.
Nathan, we were praying for your family, man. For his mom and everything, all right? Write that one down. Pray for Nathan and his family. God's good. Get up here. Heck yeah, man. What's up? 10 seconds. God is good.
Okay, I'm kind of nervous, though, because I don't really talk to people like this. Okay. When I was, like, 7, I was riding a bike without a helmet, which was dumb. And there was a trailer over there. And you know the part that hooks up to the truck? Well... I went under it, and then my brother told me to duck, and I ducked, and I went up too early, and then I hit my head and cracked over my head. And then another time, I did a backflip in a pool, and the stairs was right there. This is mostly me being dumb. And I did a backflip, and my head hit the stairs and cracked open again.
Wow. So. And you're still here.
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm well. As you go, I'll see. I'm still alive.
That's tight. And God is good. Amen. Amen. One more. Hey, God is good. And all the time. One more. Get up here. Last person here. tell me, somebody, please tell me how you know God is good.
Well, I'm fatherless, and I just, sometimes I feel like, when I look in the mirror, I don't see anything beautiful, and it's just, now I know that God is my father, and that I'm wanted.
You are wanted, and God knows your name. And you, he has written your name on the palm of his hand, and he has a plan and a future for your life, and you are not alone, and you will never be alone, because number one is you have God as your father, and number two is you have a family at church. You have a room full of brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, grandmas and grandpas. You will never be without a family as long as you stay within the church. Because you will always find family here at church. Hey, God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. So, let's give it up. Let's give it up. God is good. Oh, you have something? All right, all right. You're special, so you could say something.
Oh my gosh, let me. I just want to say God is good because at my work at ISOM, we have this prayer list, and like literally it's maybe have like 15 people on there that have cancer or that are like going through like terminal like things, and it's like crazy because I used to get discouraged because it's like every week someone would be added on that list. And I know sometimes it's hard when you guys are praying, you're not seeing results, and it takes, like, years, and sometimes you feel like, you know, where is God? Because, like, I mean, these people weren't even my family, but on this list, sometimes I would, like, get discouraged, like, God, why aren't you doing anything yet? Why aren't you doing anything yet? But, you know, it's crazy. Sometimes it takes months, but then we see, like, miraculous healings of people that, like, you know, there's this one guy, his heart was, like, literally failing, and he, like, died for 8 seconds. And then when he woke back up, the doctors said, like, you have basically a totally new heart. Nothing's wrong. You're perfectly fine. We have no idea. You know, his heart was completely failing before. But because you guys persevere, because you guys continue to pray, even through the tears, even through, like, the doubt, you know, God still hears you guys. So I just want to encourage you guys, don't give up because God is good. Because he heals, he does whatever. He's just a good God. He's just a good God, even through the tears. But I love you guys. And that's it.
Let's give it up. Dang. Okay. You told that story. I have to tell a story now. Whenever we get a brand new youth worker, I have to interview them. That's one of the jobs, to make sure that we don't got no weirdos, you know? And I interviewed a couple today, and he was telling me his story. So I'm gonna cheat and tell you his story. I'm sure he'll tell it to you one day. But as a teenager, he was involved in football and all these things. Well, he had injured himself, so he began to take steroids to, I guess, help with the muscle buildup of the muscles he had damaged. Well, because he began to do that, it destroyed his liver. And as a 20-year-old man, he got sick. Right, he was 22. And he went to the hospital to the doctors. He was admitted, all these things. Well, the doctors, you know, his skin began to turn yellow because his liver had failed and his organs began to shut down. And the doctors literally told him, you have to go home because there's nothing else we can do for you. You just go home and die. He said, go home and die. And he went home, and the church prayed for him. And he shared with us, you know, the pastors came out, prayed for him in the hospital, that he went home, he was sick, and within a matter of weeks, one after another, his body began to work. It began to heal. He went back to the doctors, and the doctor said, what happened? Your liver, the doctor said, your liver looks so good, you can start drinking again. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. Doctors, right? And God healed him. When the doctor said, go home and die, God said, stand up and live. God is good. Oh, man. If you don't believe me, he starts in 2 weeks. You could ask him yourself. Do this. Look at the person next to you. Say, God is good. The other person, say all the time. All right, all right. Now, let's give God a praise, a shout tonight. go grab a seat. Sit down. Sit it down. Sit it down. Hey, go put it right down there. Right down there. Oh, we got some time, so I'm going to preach a minute, if you don't mind. God is so good. We got to share the word now. Can we do that? Can we share the word? Oh, see, you guys aren't excited as I hoped you would be. Can I share the word? Thank you, somebody. I'm going to share it to three people up in this place. The rest of you guys, I don't know. You guys have to listen and endure it. But in case you guys don't know, my name is Pastor Richard. I want to welcome you guys to the Rock Church because I didn't get a chance to do that earlier. And amen. God is good even right now. I just read a text and God is even working right now through the video department. And it's really good. God is good. He just answered a prayer I've been praying for several months. All right. If you guys got your Bibles, I need you. You guys can turn to Luke, the second chapter, verse 52. There's an interesting verse. See, today I want to talk to you a little bit about what we've been doing so far today. I want to talk to you about getting it from your head to your heart. That's right, from the head to the heart. Because it is today, it is about understanding. If there is one word I think I love in this world, amongst many of them, I want to say it is the word understand. That is one of the words. I catch it saying to my kids, do you understand me? You're in trouble. Do you understand me?
Yes, Daddy, I do.
And I love that word. So today it's about getting it to where you know it, to where you live it. And I want to share a couple words with you. Like I said, in Luke, the second chapter, verse 52, it talks about Jesus. Now, Jesus was 12 years old. Any 12-year-olds in the house? There you go. Jesus knows exactly how you felt because he was 12 once too. Isn't that interesting to think that? 12-year-old Jesus. Like, what did Jesus look like? Was Jesus fashionable? Did he have, like, the new air sandals? It was all air donkeys. That's what it was. No, them nice ones with the new, ooh, look at that. Look at that. That nice leather strap that goes over, that's good. Metatarsal support, dang. Anyway, and Jesus is 12 years old, and he gets lost and all this kind of stuff. I mean, and Jesus gets lost, his parents yell at him. Hey, look, it happened to Jesus, okay? His parents yelled at him, he got in trouble for doing nothing wrong, and all of a sudden, you know, it describes Jesus' teenage years. We don't know much about Jesus, what he was like after 12, between 12 and 30 years old, but we do know this. God describes Jesus' teenage years this way. It says, and Jesus, little boy Jesus, teenager Jesus, teeny bopper Jesus, increased in wisdom and stature. He increased in wisdom and stature. He increased in favor with God and man. That's kind of interesting. Increased in wisdom. Jesus knew brand new things, which kind of is an interesting thing to think about because he was Jesus. But in as well as how to use them and stature. I get the brother got taller. Amen. Jesus got taller. And so he increased in wisdom and stature. He was blessed and he grew mentally, physically. It says he grew in favor with God and men. That means he grew in his relationship with the Father and he grew in the way he dealt with the people around him. Mentally, physically, spiritually, relationally, Jesus hooked it up. He got it going on. He grew. Now, see, right now as teenagers, as young people, junior high, senior high, it don't mean a thing. If you're here, you need to grow, increase in wisdom. You need to increase in stature. You need to increase in favor with both God and with man. You need to understand how to grow up. You need to understand how to get to that next level in your life. See, there's something really interesting going on in your life right now. You know, you may not realize it, but you know, one of my jobs as a youth pastor is to understand teenagers, which is an impossible task. Now, granted, I was one at one time. Believe it or not, I was a teenager. I was 16. I was 11. I looked and dressed terrible. Terrible. I have pictures to see it, to show it. It's just, it's a shame. It is literally a crying shame. And I was just a mess of one big greasy Mexican pimple. That's what it was. I was just a mess. And the teenage years were very hard for me. So glad they're over. No offense against any of you guys here. Maybe you guys are loving it. Cool. Work it. But I'm glad I'm old now. I'm glad I'm old and gray-ish. And I look back and I don't understand why I did things I did. It's just really confusing being an adolescent person. But one of my jobs as a youth pastor is to understand what's going on. Did you know that right now, especially all my junior hires in the house, why? This is the second most explosive period of growth in your life. I don't know if you realize this, but the way your brain is, the way your body is, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to get a little scientific. Can a brother talk like a scientist for a second? The answer is yes. I'm going to try. And the most explosive period of growth in a person's life is there when they're a toddler. If you've ever seen my daughter, Juliet, the little blonde one with blue eyes, this is right now. That is, she's learning how to talk. She's walking. Her brain is like, pew, 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 going crazy. And that is the most accelerated, explosive period of growth in a person's life, that age, right around 1, 2, 3 years old. The second is junior high. That's right. You're a mess. You're crazy. You're just growing. You're getting all grown up. It's crazy because, I don't know, some of my senior hires will remember this. Whenever we get a new batch of seventh graders in, they're like this big. And then by eighth grade, by the beginning of eighth grade, they're like this big. It's just like, it's funny because every year they're all, Pastor Richard, look at you. You're tall. And then by the end, they're like, Pastor Richard, I'm taller than you. I'm like, shut up. Tell me, they're like, 80% of the people in this room taller than me. I don't care. So, and I tried, it's like eighth graders telling me that. It's like, I don't care. I don't give a rip. Whatever. You're going to hit your head on a door one of these days. Now, interestingly enough, your brain is crazy right now. Do we have the brain picture of the girl in the brain? If you guys have that, go ahead, put that up. Did you guys get the brain picture? Because, and as a matter of fact, it's there. Don't worry. The crazy part is this, is your brain is developing. And you may not know this, but it's very important to know. There he is. See, this, your brain is developing at an amazing rate. Don't worry, there will not be a test on this. See, right here, you got a little girl, 5 years old. This is her through the age of 20. Right there, we got little Mario, big Mario. And that's a picture of their brain scan right there. That's the girl's brain scan. See, it's all like super awesome. And like awesome and like yellow and red and blue and a lot of green. And it's like, oh no, what's happening? There's more blue. Oh no, more blue. Where's the red going? And then it's like, blue, everything's blue, no green. That's what happens to your brain. You can find your brain somewhere up there. 5, 10, 15, 20, somewhere right around there. Your brain is turning blue right now, from green to blue. Pastor Richard, what does that mean? This is what it means. This is kind of in the Bible. Don't worry. But now your brain is made out of white and gray matter. Right? And what happens is your brain has a lot of gray matter, where it's all super, super bright, and then it gets less to more white matter. See, what happens is the gray matter is all the connections and stuff like that. It's like the little bridges that go in between the white matter and stuff like that. And the white matter is where all the little knowledge is stored. Boop, 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 boop. Your phone number. Boop, 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 boop. Right there. And then all of a sudden, you know, like how to tie your shoes. Right there. And then all of a sudden, what happens is this, is the younger you are, the more connections there are inside your brain. Everything connects and touches each other. Do right there inside. And what happens is the older you get, the more efficient your brain wants to be. Because there's all this electricity going on inside your brain. All right there. Now the problem is there's too much action and we got to calm the brain down. That's why some people are hyperactive. Too much action. So your brain says, okay, we need to use this and then we need to use that. But not so much that, more of this. So it starts taking all those connections and starts cutting them. Snack, 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 snack. And it starts focusing on the parts of your brain that you really, really use. See, it goes from all that gray all to the white. It starts cutting the connections. What's up? Yes. Yes, I do study about this stuff because this helps you guys make sense because sometimes it's kind of confusing, but I still love you. I still love you. What happens is it starts to choose the connections you use all the time, and it increases the amount of storage you have in a sense, and it decreases the connections between it, so you can efficiently use your brain better. Your brain is not done developing until you're about 23 years old. Guppy, how old are you? You still got a way to go. I'm just saying, right? Andrew, how old are you? All right, you're almost there, bro. Almost there, almost there. Perla, 21? Give it another couple years and you're set. Me? Old rusty brain. That's what it is. Old rusty brain right there. I got a whole lot of blue all up in there. See, now the crazy part is this, is like I mentioned, right now your brain is developing. It's like wet cement. Wet cement, it's getting hard, but you can still form it, shape it. You can still kind of knock some pieces off and stuff like that. And it's still pliable. You guys, you dig? And that's where it's at right now with your brain, is you are right now, the way you think is literally changing the physical structure of your brain. Like literally, your brain is physically changing with all the connections and stuff like that. Now, depending on what you think about, and this is bizarre, and what you do determines what your body says is important inside your brain. No, listen, this is actually important because like for example, if you're a jock, if you're an athlete in this place and you do sports all day, every day, then your brain, the parts of high functioning body mechanics, you're using that a lot. So your brain says, I need to preserve that type of motor skills. So it focuses on those areas and those areas that you're literally telling your body is important. If you read and you study a lot, then you're determining that you're telling your body these parts are very important, and I want to keep these highly efficient parts of my brain working for the rest of my life. Your brain is slowly hardening into what it's going to stay like for mostly the rest of your life. And here's the crazy part: they've done Harvard, Stanford. They did studies on teenage brain development, and they said, now this is not an excuse to drink or do drugs, but as an adult, your brain has the ability to repair itself from certain alcohol abuse and drug use as an adult. But as a teenager, any damage done in these development years that you guys are in right now by drugs, alcohol, weed, whatever it is, drug abuse, they say it's almost permanent. Almost permanent because of what's going on in the development of your brain. That's why you shouldn't do drugs. Because it'll make you stupid and stay stupid. Okay. And because your brain is still being developed. That's why you got to stay away from that. That's bad juju, man. Don't mess with that stuff. But in the same way, interestingly enough, it says of Jesus, he increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God. Jesus, at this time, where was he found? In church. What was he found doing? Debating and talking about the word with the rabbis. What parts of his brain was he exercising? To study, to understand, to communicate. See, some of y'all need to get off them video games. Look, Call of Duty, bro, you don't need to use your thumbs that much for the rest of your life, all right? All right, I'm just saying, you need to focus on other parts of your brain so you can grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Look, you don't got a job yet, so you can focus on other things. You need to focus on the things that are important in life, so you can understand what God wants you to do. This is not a time to sit back and chill and just, this is not a time to waste the school days. Look, this is a time for you to grow in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. Cause look, your green brain is turning blue, sucker. So you better make sure that's a good blue. Bonus thing here, bonus tip quick right now. If you ever do something stupid, whether it, you know, be backflips or riding your bike, whatever the case is, it's, you know, the last part of your brain to develop is the front part. Do you know what the front part's in charge of? It's your prefrontal cortex. No test. They call it the executive part of your brain. That is the part of your brain that makes critical thinking, judgment skills. It's the last place to develop. So if your parents ever ask you, why did you do that? Just say, ask me when I'm 23, then I'll know. My brain's not done developing yet. Don't tell them I told you that. Your brain's not done yet. Your brain's not done yet. That's why. It's still cooking. It's still cooking. So just say, I don't know. That's what science says. I don't know. That's not an excuse. Proverbs 1:5 says this. A wise man will hear. Somebody say hear. Hey. And increase learning. Somebody say learning. Y'all want to be wise, so you need to hear and learn. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. If your front of your brain is not working, ask somebody whose front of their brain is working. You'd be like, why you do that? I don't know. Find somebody that does know, and then they'll tell you. Might even help your front of your brain start working, right? All my people in the back, if your whole brain works, let me see your hands in the air. Hey! All right, some of you guys are stretching it here. Some of you guys are stretching it. So find somebody whose brain works. Now, I'm just kidding. Your guys' brain's beautiful and somewhat green. So you need to understand. You need to understand what God says. See, I'm going to wrap this thing up really quick here. There's this verse in the Bible, Matthew 13. Let me read it to you. It's a parable. It's a picture. It's a picture. And the Bible says, Jesus says of his own mouth, I want to tell you the parable, the story about the sower. That's a man who plants seeds. He said that there was four kinds of ground, and this man planted seeds in four different kinds of grounds, and depending on the ground depended on what happened to the seed. It says, if anybody hears the word of the kingdom, they don't understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed received by the wayside. Some of this seed fell off on the side of the road. There was no dirt for it, so a crow came and ate it up. It says, now, that is a picture of what happens when people, they don't understand the word. Pastor preaches, you read the Bible, you're like, I don't know. And all of a sudden, you don't get it. You don't take the time to get it. So then Satan comes in and takes everything you learned away. He takes it away before it can get into your head, before you can understand it. That's why you got to pay attention. That's why you got to fight distraction. That's why you got to put your phone away sometimes. Just saying. It says, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This was the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, the seed was thrown out. It fell on rocks in the dirt. It says, he hears the word and immediately he receives it with joy. But there's no root. The seed just springs up real quick, but there's no root. It's kind of like when you put that seed in the Ziploc bag with the water. You see the root, but it's not going anywhere. You could easily throw it away. There's no root in the ground. It endures for a while. Tribulation, persecution arise because of the word. Immediately he stumbles, and the seed dies. That's what happens when you hear it, but it just stays up here. Now he who received the seed among the thorns hears the word. Cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, temptations, they choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. It dies inside of him. It's an apple tree with no apples. It's an orange tree with no oranges. It's a grapevine with no grapes. Dang. But he receives the word on good ground. The seed comes and it finds a nice piece of dirt that's watered. What happens? It goes into good ground. It is one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and produces. What does he produce? 100-fold, 60, 30. See, you've got to use what God's given you so you can grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. You've got to take what God has out here, get it into here, get it from here into here. But don't let it stop here. You've got to then take it and take it out there. You see what I'm saying? The word that stays out here gets taken by Satan. The word that comes in here but doesn't go any further, it grows. But as soon as things get hard, you rationalize it and say, you know what, this isn't worth it, whatever. I'm going to go do something else. the word that only goes down here, if this is where it stays, then eventually when temptation comes in, you close up and you become one of those Christians that goes to church and never does anything till you get bitter and you're one of those Christians that people are like, I don't want to be one of them. You're choked. Oh, but the person that understands takes it from here to here to here. And then what do? They produce fruit. They take it from their heart and they give it to other people. Produce 100, 60, 30-fold. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. And he took God's word, used his mind, his brain. Then what did he do? He took what he learned, applied faith to it. Faith activated by the Holy Spirit puts it in his heart. Now it becomes a part of who he is. And he so believes it, he puts works to his faith, to his knowledge, to the word. And all of a sudden, boom! I know, that was good. Brother has a miracle happening right out of his hands. 100, 60, 30-fold. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Mentally, physically, spiritually, relationally. With all the people around him. Bam. Wayside, stony, thorny, good soil. Don't stop on the way to the destination. Gotta get it out you. Guys, get anything out of God today? Yeah. Bam! Booyah!